I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And certainly love doing the show. I enjoy doing the show. And tonight, as you know, we are in, if you've been listening to WPFW any at all, you know that we are in Fun Drive, and it's critical that we keep the lights on and enjoy this very important space for dialogue in Washington, D.C. And if you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that when we're in Fun Drive, I still do a show. I still talk about important things. I usually don't take calls. Sometimes maybe a little bit yes, maybe no. Tonight, probably no. And I take a few minutes every 20 minutes or so to remind people to have the importance of donating, that, you know, hopefully you enjoy the show, but, you know, it is important if we're going to continue to have this kind of a dialogue, if we're going to continue to have these open spaces where people can talk and say things that, you know, would get them beaten up and sent to an El Salvador prison, which is probably likely my fate. But if we're going to maintain this kind of an open space for dialogue, philosophical, ideological, political, you name it, religious, whatever the case may be, and lots of good music, that we do have to have these fun drives. And I really appreciate the people that are involved in this show, the callers, the weekly callers, and people from all over who take their time out and their hard-earned money to keep us on the air. So without further ado, and we're going to get on to talking about what we got to talk about. But let me first let everybody know there are various ways that they can contribute to WPFW. Number one, and this is an easy one, you can go to WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. It's sort of the donate button right there. Go to WPFW and you can donate. Number two, you can call 202-588-9739. That's the number. 202-588-9739. That's the number you want to call. And that number will allow you to, you know, talk to somebody there, and you can say, thanks a lot, I love Garland. Or you can say, I'm donating lots of money because I hate Garland and I want to get him off the air, which is just as fine. You know what I mean? Muhammad Ali used to always say, half the people come to see me win, half the people come to see me lose. But they all come to the fight, and they all pay to get in, right? So my point being, all jokes aside, whatever the case may be, you may love this show. You may hate this show. You may hate listen, right? You may hate, I listen to the show every week because that Garland, I just want to choke him, right? But at least it's interesting. It's interesting enough to make you listen. And so if you love listening or hate listening to this show, it's critical that you dial 202-588-9739. That's the number. There'll be always going to be people standing by. And we have something called the Sustainer Program, which is extremely important. Extremely important to go with the Sustainer Program, because what the Sustainer Program does is it gives us what's called in the business industry RMR, recurring monthly revenue. That's what your cell phone company wants. RMR. Any company, that's what you're, if you've got a security system at home, right? Oh, we'll charge you X amount a month, right? Recurring monthly revenue. And that's really, really important, because that gives a business some sort of financial strength, some financial stability. A business knows if we have RMR, then every month we're like, well, we know we can pay the light bill because we've got this. We know we can pay this bill because we got this coming in. We know we can pay, meet payroll, whatever the case may be. So if you, there are a lot of people who say, well, I could give X amount of dollars. And there's others that say, I ain't got much, but I'll tell you what, I can do 20 bucks a month. That's a 25 bucks a month. That's all I got. I know it ain't much, but I can do it, right? Well, there you go. You'd be perfect for our Sustainer Program. You don't have a lot. You say, if I give 25 bucks, it ain't going to make a difference. It is if you can do it monthly, $20 a month, whatever you can monthly. So call 202-588-9739, and you may be perfect for getting in our Sustainer Program. One more thing that's important. I say this every week, and it always helps out. We also have a lot of people listening that are loaded to the gills. And you know who you are. You're sitting there. You got plenty of money. You could give $200, $300. You could give $1,000. You $10,000, many. You wouldn't even know it was gone. You wouldn't even know. It wouldn't matter to you. Money is really not that much of an object as far as you're concerned. You may look, oh, gee, I wonder what my stocks are doing. Oh, my God, I lost $50,000. Oh, well, it's only a mere $50,000, right? You're looking at life like that. Guess what? For people who are, shall we say, financially stable, very financially stable, you're living well, you ain't really hurting for a dollar. Guess what? People like that can make up for those of us who aren't. For those who can maybe give 25 beans a month, that's the best they can do, but they're doing it. It's the best they can do, but they're doing it. If you can give $200, $500, $1,000 one time, it'd be great if you do it monthly, but if you can do it one time, right? And you won't even miss it. Call 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. And let's get to talking about controversial subjects, which shouldn't be controversial subjects, but let's talk about controversial subjects that desperately need to be talked about. And I'm going to start with this one because it's one, it's a foundational subject for me. You know, there are things that you beat around the bush about. There's things that you talk about and you're like scratching your head. Well, I don't know how important that is. Well, you know, yeah, it may be a big deal to you and maybe this person. You ever heard the term one issue voter, right? There are people that the only thing they vote on is abortion. They're a one issue voter. I don't care what happens. And you'll talk to people. Well, what about this candidate? Yeah, but he's against abortion or for abortion, whatever, right? One issue voters. And I accept that. Whatever your issue is with me, I can be a one-issue voter. My issue is war and peace, right? But there's an issue here in America, I think, that needs to be discussed more. And in our community, in the community of people who listen to WPFW, who are a lot of times you got a lot of people of color, as they say, whatever the hell that means, black folks. You got a lot of people who are, I guess, consider themselves liberal, a word I don't really like, progressive. I don't even know what the hell those words mean anymore. But you have people who consider themselves to be of a left-leaning bend, right? And to be quite frank, from what I see in America, the some of the people of a left-leaning bend are worse than the ones of a right-leaning bend, to be honest with you. But what this is where I'm going. Genocide. That's a word that the people in our community, and I don't mean just the black community, I mean people who consider themselves to be concerned with the betterment of mankind. You know, sometimes there's nothing that scares me worse than the do-gooders. Sometimes when the do-gooders come out, I want to dig a shelter and go hide and get, but you know, get a good, I'm going to be like the doomsday preppers and get a shelter and hide and get a machine gun and you know, duck down and only stick my head up at night when I see the do-gooders come these days, because the do-gooders seem to be doing the worst deeds on earth. But let's talk about this. Genocide. What's happening in occupied Palestine, Gaza, and even around the attacks on Lebanon. There's horrific things going on in Syria. This is just, we'll just stick with the Middle East for now. The question to me, when I hear people who call themselves left-leaning, when I hear the people who call themselves Democrats, I was a Democrat all my life, diehard Democrat up until 2016 with the whole Bernie debacle, and then I became an independent. I was angry. So I consider myself far to the left of the Democratic Party, to be quite frank. The party that I see now, I'm way to the left of that right-wing war machine. But I hear people talking, and I hear discussions everywhere, including on PFW, as if the genocide is not happening. Right? As if, let's just go back and talk like it was 2017. Let's just talk about Trump. Let's just talk about the Republicans. Let's just pretend that the Democrats have not been complicit, if not at the forefront, of one of the most brutal, heinous acts that humankind can perpetrate, genocide. Right? I quite frankly, I would expect that from the let's be frank, I would expect that from the Republicans. Doesn't shock me a bit if the Republicans, hey, we're going to kill all the Palestinians. I'd have been like, yeah, it don't shock me if the Republicans. That's kind of the way I saw the conservatives. But I thought the Democrats would never, well, they'd never stand for that. Now, not that I don't think the neocons that run the party would do it. Oh, heck yeah. But I felt that the people in the Democratic Party wouldn't stand for it. And to some extent, I was wrong. And I especially thought that Black folks who had been a victim of genocide themselves would kind of not take so kindly to genocide. You know, would be like, hey, there's a lot of things we can deal with, but genocide, that's where we draw the line. But when I listened to the discussion about politics, going into the election, I mean, let's, you know, this is what I hear. If Kamala had won, well, if Kamala had won, if Kamala, right? I don't see how you can really have that conversation in light of the genocide. I don't see how you can have that conversation at all in the context of Kamala Harris was running at the time the administration that she was running to represent was committing a genocide, was slaughtering, murdering brutally in the most unthinkable way, men, women, and children, and defending it and lying about it. We saw Joe Biden at one point say, when in his first bumbling, stumbling, completely garbled debate, said, we're not sending 2,000-pound bombs to Israel because they could be dropped on civilians. And we found out that he'd sent 12 to 15,000 of them before he said that. He lied, just flat out lied. But we're not sending 20,000 bombs. Ah, please, come on. You can drop those on civilians, for God's sake. And people might think it's a genocide. And they were dropping them on civilians and committing genocide. And it was just a lie. Let me go one further. We recently found out that from the Israelis, they came out and they said, look, the Biden administration never asked us for a ceasefire. They didn't worry us about a ceasefire. They didn't approach us about a ceasefire. They supported us wholeheartedly. The best thing that ever happened to the Joe Biden and the Biden administration, the best thing that ever happened. It was just, you know, wonderful. I'm, of course, adding the things for dramatic effect as they do in Hollywood documentaries, of course. But yeah, it was wonderful. We just got to kill lots of men, women, and children. Okay, here's my point on that, notwithstanding the dramatic effect that I added. Here's the reality. There were many of us saying, look, how can you support the Democrats? I want to hear about Trump. How could you vote for somebody committing a genocide? And do you recall what we were told by the likes of Bernie Sanders and AOC? Well, they're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. Tirelessly. Oh, they're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. Remember that? Kamala Harris, we're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. That's all we heard. And I don't know why you don't want to support them. They're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. And we were like, well, they ain't doing a good job. And we don't want them to work tirelessly for a ceasefire. We want a ceasefire. You know, and I always tell people, I grew up, my dad was an old country guy. He was a longshoreman, but he was, you know, grew up in farming, subsistence farming, didn't have much education, all that kind of stuff. But he didn't want excuses. Get it done. You know, that's what the time that he came when, you know, and a lot of people like me, especially Black folks like me, came up and their parents or their grandparents came up in extreme poverty. And they didn't have a lot of, you know, they were surviving. They didn't have a lot of room for a lot of bull crap. For a lot of guff, for a lot of talk, you had to get it done. You had to do what you had to do to survive. And nobody wants to hear a bunch of talk. Get it done. That's the way I grew up. Get it done. I want to hear it. Did you complete the task or didn't you complete the task? That's it. Right? Oh, well, it's too cold outside. It's going to be cold outside. Get out there and get it done. It's raining. Get it done. No excuses. Right? So when they were working tirelessly for a ceasefire, I'm like, there's a genocide going on. Working tirelessly for a ceasefire ain't the answer. That ain't the answer. In fact, the answer is genocides are wrong, horrible, and evil, and we will stop it at all costs. That's the right answer. But what we got was they're working tirelessly towards a ceasefire, doing everything they can. And the Israelis came out recently and said, well, yeah, no, they really weren't. They didn't even ask us for a ceasefire. They just said, here's some more bombs. Keep up the good work. Okay, my point is this. They just flat out lied. They just flat out lied. They just, yeah, what are you doing? You know, they're in the back rooms of the White House. All right, we got to send more bombs. We got to send mines. How are we fixed on shells? What do you want? A 50 millimeter? 50 millimeter it is. More shells. We got to slaughter lots of people. They need intelligence. If they're going to be bombing tent cities and burning people alive, we got hospitals that desperately need to be hit with missiles. Get them some more missiles, right? If they're sitting around plotting to attack civilians, men, women, and children. And the world is like, hey, you're killing men, women, and children. They're like, well, we're working tirelessly for a ceasefire. But they weren't. They weren't. That's important to me. There's a moral issue here. Now, here's my point. They committed a genocide, and they lied. And you had people come to me talking about, hey, man, I think we should support the Democrats and vote for Kamala Harris. Why? Because of Trump. All the Trumps in the world ain't gonna make me vote for genocide, brothers. It's not gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. So what we had going on was, in my opinion, a moral clash going on. On the left. And the moral clash were those who could witness the genocide, those who could witness the leaders of their party committing a genocide and still find reason to support that party, who could witness politicians lie to them about a genocide, whether they knew or suspected at the time they were lying. I both knew and suspected at the time. I'm like, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. And I might I add, as I said a few minutes ago, it really didn't matter. I wasn't like, I wonder if they're lying to us about trying to get a ceasefire. I don't want to hear that. And I didn't want a ceasefire. We got a ceasefire. How the hell well did that work? We got a ceasefire. All right. How long is that going to work? Well, you know, it'll work a month or two. And then they'll go back to slaughtering civilians. I wanted not only a complete cessation of hostilities, but accountability for those who were committing the crimes, right? That's what we needed. We needed both a cessation of hostilities. Now I'm having trouble getting that one out, and accountability for the crimes. I don't want to hear it. Even cessation of hostilities was not good enough. What are you going to do? Well, we're trying to get a ceasefire. That implies that you ain't all that thrilled about holding the people who were committing the crime accountable. If you commit a genocide, you should be held accountable. There ain't no way around it. So let me ask you this. If you go out in the street and there's some little kid walking down the street and he's 8 years old and he's got a toy in his hand, you take a baseball bat, smack him in the back of the hand, knock his brains out and kill him dead, should you be held accountable? There's some pregnant woman crossing the street and you just floor it and run over, kill her and the baby and everybody. Her husband's going to kill him too. And she's got two other little kids, 2, 3, and 4 years old, three other little kids. You run over a pregnant woman, you kill her, you kill her kids, you kill her husband. You just run over the whole family and smush them and kill every one of them. Should you be held accountable? Well, of course you should. Well, that's what the Israelis are doing. That's what the Biden administration was doing. And now that's what the Trump administration is doing. And my opinion is a ceasefire is not good enough. They should be held accountable for their evil deeds. I truly believe that. So at the time that people were saying to me, Garland, aren't you going to vote for Kamala Harris? I was looking at them like they had an eye in the middle of their forehead. What the heck are you doing? Vote for Kamala Harris? No. Vote for that's not part of the discussion. My opinion is Kamala Harris should be. I mean, so let me be clear about how I feel. The Nuremberg trials, The people who are committing these heinous acts, which includes the Israeli government, which includes the U.S. government, including the entire Biden administration, including everyone in Congress who voted for or kept their mouth shut, should be brought before The Hague. There should be trials. And while I am opposed to the death penalty, whatever decision is made in an international court, I would support it. Now, if it were me, I would give them a nice dungeon and I'd leave them in there and I'd give them life without parole if they were found guilty of either committing a genocide or being complicit with a genocide. That's where I am. So for somebody to say to me, you should have voted for Kamala. No, my opinion is Kamala, Biden, Trump, Vance, all of them should be standing trial right now. And if found guilty, they should receive the appropriate punishment. And in my opinion, the appropriate punishment is life in parole, life imprisoned with no chance of parole. That's where I'm coming from. Okay, let me, we've been 20 minutes in. So it's critical now that we take a couple of minutes to talk about the important stuff of WPFW. As you can see by the first 20 minutes, I don't think you'd be able to say that on Fox. Don't think you'd be able to say that on CNN. I don't think you'd be able to say that on MSNBC or none of them. You wouldn't be able to say that on mainstream media, but you can say it here. And I think it's important that we maintain this space. Why does everybody say space now? We're creating a space. That's like the word that's in vogue. Well, we need a space where people can be themselves, right? Well, I'm being myself, and this is the space, okay? And we need your help. The number is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. If you believe, as I do, that these conversations are critical, these conversations are important, then, in fact, it's important that you call that number and donate. There are other ways, of course. You can go WPFWFM.org and hit the donate button. You can always donate there. But right now, we got a variety of options, not the least of which being the Sustainers Program. That's right. If you don't have a lot of loot, you're not heavy in the loot like you know, some people, can I get 20, 25 bucks a month? That's all I can do. You know what? We'll take it. And it's a big help. The Sustainer Program, you call, you give them the info, and every month, 25 beans. That, or whatever you choose. That's up to you. I'm not saying it could be 250 beans if you got it. Could be 25. It could be 15. Whatever. You know what I mean? We'll take whatever it is. You know, the smaller, what is it? The biblical allegory where the person who gave the least was the most appreciated because it was all they had. So if you ain't got much and you can give that will be highly appreciated. So 202-588-9739. Now, don't get me wrong. Maybe you can get $50 or $100 or something, or even $25 one time. Gifts are, you know, donations are tax-free, I might add. Tax-deductible donations, I might add, are critical. So let's try to help keep PFW on the air so we can have these kind of discussions, even if you agree with them. If you disagree with them, rather, you should see the importance of having these conversations. The number is 202-588-9739. And let me add this, and this is important too. Always important to say this, because we do have some listeners who are, you know, financially very well off. We do have some listeners that are, they ain't hurting for a penny, right? Right now, they ain't hurting for a dollar. That they could give $100, they could give $500, they could give $1,000. And you know who you are if you're listening. It wouldn't even hurt you a bit. How important is it that we, to you, that we maintain this space where we can have these conversations, where people can say things that they can't say anywhere else? This is a 50,000 watt FM radio station in Washington, D.C. This is a very, very important voice in our community. It's community radio, but it ain't just community radio like those low power radio stations, which are great. They're great. I love them. I was on a low power radio station for a while. But my point being, this ain't a low power radio station. It's 50,000 watts and it costs a lot of money to keep this going. And there are people listening who got a lot and can afford $100, $200, $500, $1,000. There are people that can afford to give $1,000 and wouldn't even know it's gone. Would be, it'd just be like, yeah, you know what? I guess Garland's right. Shoot, I feel kind of guilty, and probably I am kind of opposed to genocide. So, and he is saying that. Where the heck else is somebody else going to tell you what? I'm going to do whatever, $500, $200, $1,000. And then I won't have to hear his yap making me feel guilty anymore. So here's my point. If you don't want to hear my yap feeling guilty, you're going to hear my yap making you feel guilty, but you won't have to feel guilty because you've given all you could. The number is 202-588-9739. You'll call. There'll be people standing by waiting to hear from you. This you must do. 202-588-9739. Thank you very much ahead. And, you know, we do have a number we're trying to hit and we ain't close to that number yet. So we need you to, try to help this show, stay strong, try to help this show, continue to be a valuable part of the WPFW radio family. 202-588-9739. That's the number to call to keep things going. Now, let me continue. We were talking about, and I think it's critical. We were talking about, I guess, in a way, colonialism and imperialism and the empire. Let me tell you why. And I've said this, so I hate to sound like a broken record, but there's such a thing called the deal breaker, and we all have deal. We should have deal breakers. And what's happened, I think, in America is people don't have political and ideological deal breakers anymore. They're so inured to their party. I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. Thank God I was a Democrat, but thank heavens that I have become an independent, because now I see things totally differently than I did. You know, the old saying, where you stand, it oftentimes, or rather you sit, or the determines oftentimes determines where you stand on an issue. And as long as I was a Democrat, I saw things a certain way. And of course, I'm not going to be a Republican because that's conservatism. And I'm to the left of the Democratic Party, not to the right of it, right? And so what I'm looking at now is I have a clearer understanding of my, what's the word I'm looking for? My moral lines. You know what I mean? Morally, what can I accept and what can I not accept? You know, it's like somebody being in a cult, and when they're in a cult, everybody believes a certain thing. And when they get out of the cult and they say, my God, how could I be a part of that? Why did we all believe that? But we just kept hearing it every day and it seemed to make sense. And why did we all believe that? Right. That's the way I felt when I was in either one of these parties. I just happened to be one. I think if you're in one of these parties, that's your business. I support people who say this is a free country, which it isn't. But those who say I feel free, I feel that I personally have the liberty to make political choices in any way that I can. I support you. You should be able to. But I literally had somebody call me one day on this show. You might have heard it. A person who called, and they were clearly a Democrat. They were unhappy saying, oh, you be. Because, and I see this all the time, this is the deal. If you go after the Democrats, people think you're a Republican. And if you go after the Republicans, people think you're a Democrat. The people in those two parties don't have a concept that there's a critique of those parties that can come from outside of the two-party duopoly. That can come, that the only critique that they believe that comes against the Democratic parties, any critique against the Democratic Party, they interpret as a Republican critique. Any critique against the Republican Party, the Republicans interpret it as a Democratic, critique. And because they are stuck in that, in this thing, this on this hamster wheel, they don't understand that there are exterior critiques that critique both parties. And here's what I would say. The exterior critiques are the most accurate critique. Here's why. You got a jury of 12. Four of the jurors only heard the plaintiffs, right? Four of them only heard the defendant. And four of them heard, well, I'll say the prosecution. Okay, let's do it better. You got 12 jurors. Four of the jurors only heard the prosecution's case. Four of the jurors only heard the defense case. And four of the jurors heard both the prosecution and the defense. That's not saying that any of the jurors are good. They could all be wrong. But the ones that are most likely to have the clearest version of what happened, at least from the perspective of the evidence that's presented and the defense that is presented, are the ones who heard both sides. The ones who are least likely are the eight that only heard one side, and it doesn't matter which side it was. If you heard the defense, or if you only heard the defense, or if you only heard the prosecution, it doesn't matter which one you heard. You're, the one that you heard is going to sound like the most accurate one. And if you heard both of them, for all you know, you might say both of them are a crock of crap. Or they both have some strength. Or in some areas, I think the defense is strong. In some areas, I think the prosecution is strong. But you got to hear both sides. But what we have now is the four, as soon as you say, well, I don't know about that defense case. Oh, you're for the prosecution. Well, I don't know about that prosecution's point. Oh, you're for the defense. They can't fathom that there's a person who's listened to both sides and maybe says, well, none of these things make sense. Neither of them make sense to me. That's where I am. And that's where more and more Americans are. And what happens is, and people who are Democrats or Republicans, as they hear us, as we hear them, they sound more and more bizarre to us. And I have to say, particularly in light of two things. The ongoing genocide, right? I see so many things. I see politics through that context right now, especially coming from a group that was a victim of U.S. genocidal actions. So it is the ongoing genocide, number one. And looking through the context of that genocide, the historical actions of the United States, which also I put all of these things together and I can't stop. Let's see. This country, let's be honest. And here's the other thing. It's like if somebody says, yeah, you know, your brother stole my wallet and I want my wallet back. Why do you hate my brother? I don't hate your brother, but can I get my wallet back? Your brother stole my wallet. Oh, you just hate my brother. You just want to go after my brother all the time. You can't stand my brother. Oh, actually, I just want my wallet back. Well, you tell him he's a wallet thief, right? This concept that I cannot have a critique of the United States without it being interpreted as an attack. Well, you know what? As Malcolm X said, if the truth is un-American, don't blame me, blame the truth, right? So if I look at the ongoing genocide in Gaza through the lens of U.S. history, see, I look at current politics, sure, we can evaluate current politics. And what our government tries to do is pretend like things just started today. We're not supposed to look at these things through a historical context, right? Okay, and I say, holy crap, the United States committed the U.S., it wasn't even the U.S., but the colonial powers, imperialist powers, came here and committed a genocide against Black folks and Native Americans. Started off with a genocide. Committed apartheid. Needed I go of the things that were done, I could go on and on in the Philippines, where they tortured and assassinated and raped and murdered in the Philippines. Need I go to South America, country after country that the U.S. overthrew. Look up the El Mozote massacre. I think that was Guatemala. I think that was in Guatemala. Might have been Nicaragua. Can't remember which one. But I could go to massacre after massacre, where the United States overthrew governments all over South America, slaughtered and murdered people. Basically, the, the genocide against the American people, against the Native Americans, they took it into South America from Mexico all the way on down. And guess what? The Spaniards did it. The Spaniards and all of the Europeans basically did it. And then when the U.S. became a country, the U.S. did it. They called it the Monroe Doctrine, that said we can go in South America and steal all of their stuff and kill all of their people. Our history is horrible, horrible. Go to Africa. Right now, the United States is threatening Ibrahim Traore, the one of the most beloved African leaders in generations in the United States. Where are the Democrats or Republicans? One of them saying, don't do it. No, this is an empire. And both parties are imperialist parties, brutal, genocidal, imperialist parties. So don't ask me to pick one. How's that? But I can look at Vietnam, millions killed, right? I can look at Cambodia and Laos, where the United States just bombed and killed and slaughtered thousands, hundreds of thousands, 800,000 people, I think, in Cambodia. Just bombed everybody that they could, just villages, small rice farmers, just dropped tons and tons, thousands of tons, millions of tons of high explosive and shrapnel onto small villages and people, just slaughtered people, killed everybody. An unthinkable massacre. Millions in Vietnam. The Vietnamese had every right. It was their country. They were fighting for freedom from U.S. imperialism, from Western imperialism. And we went and killed millions of them. Millions of them. A genocide. What about Iraq? Lied the American people into a war in Iraq and committed a genocide. A million Iraqis dead. What about Syria? Same thing. Barack Obama and his operation. Look it up. Operation Timber Sycamore. 600,000-700,000 Syrians dead. And there is a genocide going on in Syria right now where Druze and Christians, et cetera, are being slaughtered by the HTS, which is the brutal, head-chopping, monstrous ISIS group that the United States put in power and keeps the U.S. and the colonial European powers put in. Right now, that's what's going on. I could go on and on. Here's my point. You could go on and on what the U.S. has done all over the world and say to yourself, how about Korea? U.S. killed a third of the population, bombed everything they could, ran out of targets to bomb, right? Just slaughter people. So here's my point. Indonesia, right? On and on and on. It just doesn't stop. So when I look at this genocide, I simply say this: the U.S. would commit genocide after genocide from the beginning and then say to the American people, you know, we've done bad things in the past, but that was the old us. We're not like that anymore. We're now good people. And then Americans would be like, yeah, if I was around when that was happening, I'd have stood up against it. And now they're around when it's happening and they ain't standing up against it. They ain't standing up against it. No, they're so preoccupied with Trump. Bunch of Democrats running around here and you're like, hey, we're committing a genocide. That's not important now. Trump's over here. We got to do something about Trump. That's the only thing. Why? Because you're the Democratic Party and the party tells you the only thing that you should be concerned with is Trump. Yeah, but you guys are involved in a genocide. Fair enough. But let's not talk about that right now. We got something far more important than the genocide we're committing, and that's Trump. But that ain't the way I see things. That's not the way I think. That's not the way I live. My morals, I'm not saying that I have the moral high ground over anybody. No, no, no. I'm not saying my record is clean and I have only done perfect and wondrous things my whole life. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm like anybody listening to this show right now. Everybody that's listening to this show is probably like, yeah, I got things I've done in my life that I wouldn't want other people to know. Everybody listening to the show has that. Everybody's listening right now going, yeah, I've probably done stuff. Probably should have done that one, right? Yeah, all of us, because we're human beings. But at this point, at this time today in my life, genocide is a no-go. And I don't understand that some people, it ain't that much of a no-go. That there are people who are like, okay with it. And I ain't. And every time I see somebody marching against Trump, I'm like, really? People had a so-called protests. And I understand that everybody hates Trump, and this ain't going to be popular. This ain't going to be popular. It's not going to be popular. But I'm going to say this is where I am. They had some protests. Nancy Pelosi was there. Members of the Democratic Party was there. You turn on CNN and MSNBC, and they've got these people who are leading the protests. But nowhere in the protests did they say anything about genocide. In fact, there were instances where there were some protesters who said, we want to say something about what's happening in Gaza. And they said, you can't do it. Mm-mm. No, we're not doing that here. This is just an anti-Trump protest. I'm sorry. Don't ask me to attend your anti-Trump protest with the genociders. Hey, what are you going to do? All right, we got these people that are committing a genocide, but they're on the right side when it comes to Trump. I'm sorry. Don't ask me. I was just sitting back, and I know I'm going to hurt some feelings. I don't give a crap. You know, I say whatever. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if it's my last, every show is my last show. If, in fact, people call in and say, I hate Garland, he's got to go, so what? I'll do something else on Friday evening. And if I don't say what I believe, I have no business in front of this mic anyway. So I got to say what I believe. I can't. Don't even ask me to come to one of these anti-Trump protests. You have got to be kidding me. You got to be joking to me. Hey, Garland, we're going to protest Trump. Really? What are you going? What about the genocide? What about the genocide? You're standing alongside people who are in support of, have committed and are supporting a genocide, and you're standing against Trump, and he's committing a genocide too. I'm willing to come to your protest, but we got to protest everybody who's committing a genocide. What are you so mad at Trump about anyway? For some reason, it ain't about committing a genocide, and I think that's kind of got to be at the top of the list. Trump here is firing federal workers all over the place. Democrats ain't making much noise about that. You know what they're mad at Trump about the most thing is? Because he wants to end the war in Ukraine. The biggest thing the Democrats are mad at him is because he wants to end the war. And he ain't doing a very good job at that. And did I mention he still committed genocide? Did I mention that? Did I mention that for some reason that just seems to slip people's mind? I'm not going to protest. Don't ask me. I'm not promoting your protest. I'm not saying, yay, they're protesting Trump and Vance and this and that. Because to me, in my opinion, you're being dragged around like puppies by the ear, told what to protest. They're giving you something to protest. Protest Trump, an avatar. Trump ain't the problem. Trump is an expression of the problem. And so all you get to do is hate on Trump. And you know what? They feed you that. And you forget that there's a genocide going on. Hey, you know, there's a genocide. Shh. There's Trump. Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. Never mind. Trump. Oh, okay. We're going to vote again. I care less about Trump. First things first, man. They're slaughtering and murdering men, women, and children. Don't ask me to talk about Trump. Don't ask me to discuss him. That's not my political issue right now. I don't like him. I mean, I put it like this. I don't like the Democrats or the Republicans. Biden was a horror. He lied about genocide. Don't tell me that Trump's a liar. When you're lying about genocide, committing a genocide, you're lying to me about committing a genocide, you will call the other guy a liar. Of course he's a liar. He wouldn't be in office if he wouldn't. Now that I have thoroughly infuriated people and angered people and they hate the very ground I walk on, let me remind you how important it is to contribute to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. The number is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. And I know what you're thinking. Carlin, why are you so over the top on this genocide thing? You answered your own question. It's a genocide thing. It's a genocide. They're killing men, women, and children. And we're sitting around acting like it's just another sunny day in the spring. It disgusts me. Maybe you're disgusted too. Maybe you're upset too. Maybe you're, and get, what do they do? What are they doing? They're people who stand up and say, hey, I don't like this genocide. Oh, really? Well, we'll just have to send you to El Salvador. We'll just have to lock you up, take your citizenship, whatever. Unacceptable. And I got to say what I got to say. I don't care who likes it. All right, let me continue. It is very important that we keep WPFW on the air. It is very important that we make sure that Americans have a right until such time as we lose that privilege. I don't even know if we have any rights anymore. We've got a few privileges, and the ruling elite will take those privileges from us in a second. But that in order to maintain those privileges, in order to move towards the democracy that we do not have right now, don't fool yourself, we need an informed public. And WPFW is critical in that endeavor, in that move to inform our public, in the move to provide a space where people can call in, can listen, can talk, can hear dissent. And the number to donate is 202-588-9739. We are in fund drive right now. And, you know, it's important. We got people we got to pay. We got equipment. We've got, to keep the lights on, as they say. Excuse me, as they say. And, of course, we got an antenna. And, man, a 50,000-watt station in Washington, D.C. is very, very valuable for free speech. But it's also very expensive. And we need people to call 202-588-9739. And as you can hear by this show, you know, I'm not just going to blabble on for an entire hour saying, please, please, please send us money. I do about 20 minutes. And then I talk for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I do another 20 to make sure you get the show. And who knows, maybe somehow in listening to the show, maybe there's something that I'll say that'll tickle your fancy. Maybe there's something that I'll say that'll make you scratch your head and say, you know what, I wasn't going to donate, but maybe I guess I better. 202-588-9739 is the number that I'm going to call. And of course, importantly, we have the Sustainer Program. And the Sustainer Program is... you know, enables people to say, look, you know, I can't, it's really valuable for people who can't give as much. Sometimes a person can give one little wrinkly old $20 bill, right? And they're like, ah, $20, who cares about that? Well, you know what, whatever you can do is, you know, is worthy and helps us a lot. But the Sustainer Program allows that person to say, you know what, I'm going to do that $20, $25, whatever. I'm going to do that monthly. I can't give a lot, but I can give monthly. $20, I won't even know it's gone, right? That's barely a happy meal. Go to McDonald's, $20, and you maybe you'll get a small Coke and fries. But might I add, that ain't the kind of food you should be eating anyway. You ain't gonna live long if you're eating that crap. But you get my point. It's very important to eat healthy. But you can call 202-588-9739. And you can talk to the person on the other end of the line, and they can set you up for the Sustainer Program. And also, and this is important, got people listening that's loaded. We got people listening that has a lot of money, and they could give 100, they could give 500, they could give 1,000, they could give 800. They wouldn't even know it was gone. And you know, you may be thinking about Gaza, you may be thinking about war, you may be thinking about genocide, you may be something thinking about something that really bothers you, and you know, you got the money and you can contribute towards that by contributing towards the conversation that informs people and that gives people an outlet. People who say, I'm really opposed to this and I'm angry about it, but where do I talk about it? I mean, you know, where do I hear about it? I turn on the mainstream news and all they got is either pro-Trump or anti-Trump propaganda. All they got is pro-war propaganda. All I hear is the same old stuff. Hamas did this or that. But I just can't get anybody to say on the mainstream media that genocide is wrong. Well, you know what? I'm saying it. We need to stand up against it. And those who can afford it, particularly, you're the ones, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And you're looking in the mirror saying, yeah, what can I do? I know I got a lot of loot. I know I wouldn't even miss it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call 202-588-9739, and I'm going to give a grand or 500 or 200 or 100 or whatever it is. I'm going to give this money because it's the right thing to do. 202-588-9739. Now, let me add this for, you know, we're in the home stretch here. In light of the genocide, because this, let's just call this the genocide show tonight. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need to be talking about. That's what needs to be, you know, we walk down the street. Everybody should have a sign that says stop the genocide. We should have a hat on. Everybody should have a bumper sticker. We should be in the streets by the millions saying no. The truth is, what's happening is so egregious. We should have a general strike. Americans should all say, I ain't going to work. I ain't doing nothing. I ain't paying taxes. Nothing. Not in my name. A genocide will not be allowed in my name. That's what America should be doing, but we ain't. So, okay, here's where we are. We can talk about it here. But my question is this. At what point, because I have people that argue with me about the, you know, I say the government's lying to you. Well, I think they're telling us the truth about that. Are they committing a genocide right now? Yeah, then why would you trust them? Here's my point. And this is also in the context of the genocide conversation, what the heck does the United States government have to do to convince you that they're lying and they can't be trusted? What do they have to do at this point? Lie us into a war in Iraq twice? You know what happened in Iraq. They lied twice. 1991, they lied. They cooked up a story about Iraqi soldiers throwing babies out of incubators. That was a lie. They knew it. They didn't have a high enough percentage of Americans supporting the war effort, you know, so that they could launch the war. So they cooked up that story in a PR operation. They sent in a fake actor to Congress to tell the story. It was a lie. That person lied to Congress. The people that put it together lied to the American people. And then all over the news, Iraqi soldiers are throwing babies out of incubators. It was a cooked up, manufactured story to lie to the American people to get us into a war. They did it again in 2003 and 2002 to attack Iraq a second time. That next time it was weapons of mass destruction, right? So they cooked up a lie. Lie after lie. The Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. Remember the Maine for the Spanish-American War was a lie. On and on and on. And I always just say this. How many times do you have to be lied to before you stop trusting people? I have people call me in this week when it may be about whatever. It may be about China. It may be about Ukraine. And they will repeat to me what the government's saying. Now, I know the Ukraine conflict like the back of my hand. I was studying that long before that happened. I know the history of it from the 1950s and on, CIA in Ukraine. And people will call me and give me the government's line. They will give me the line that the CIA, you could go to CIA.gov, and that's the line you're going to get. And it's absolutely false. And the evidence is out there for anybody to see. And people will basically, in a nutshell, call me and argue with me that the government's telling them the truth. No, Garland, when it comes to the Ukraine conflict, the government's telling you the truth. Well, that would be a new turn and twist of events if the government was telling me the truth. They lied about every other war, but for some reason, the CIA, basically, I get people, here's their argument, Garland. You're telling me that the government is lying to me about the Ukraine conflict, right? Yes. And you're telling me that the CIA is lying to me, that everything the CIA, the U.S. government is telling me about the Ukraine conflict is a lie. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, no, that's not true. They're telling me the truth. This is basically where we got with Americans. Well, you know, and I listen to them and they know nothing about it. And I'm like, okay, look at the people who have studied this thing. Dr. Jeffrey Sachs. I mean, I could go name after name after name. People who prior to this conflict said, John Mearsheimer, what did he say? The United States is leading Ukraine down the primrose path and Ukraine is going to get smashed. Why? Because he knew the truth. People who know the truth, who have predicted what's going to happen, who read, I could tell you a book to read, Zbigniew Brzezinski. It's called The Grand Chessboard. Read it, 1998. And what did he say? He said, we're going to arm Ukraine. We'll destabilize Russia. We'll overthrow the Russia. We'll then break Russia into three pieces. We will then go after China from three sides, and then we'll take China down. That was what was written. But yet when I say, you know, that's exactly what they're doing. Oh, no, Garland, dude, we're just trying to stand up for democracy. And they literally wrote in books what their plan was for Ukraine. And then they executed the exact plan that they wrote in books. And I'm like, guys, you don't have to believe me. First of all, I'm shocked that you think the government's telling you the truth when they never do. Fair enough. If you think the government's telling you the truth, I don't know what to tell you there. But let's go one further. They literally wrote what they wanted to do. They literally wrote down, yep, we're going to use Ukraine. We're going to arm Ukraine. We're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. We're going to take Russia apart into three pieces. Then we're going to do this. And when I say, believe them, when they wrote down and told you what they were going to say in the books. Why? Because they're doing it. Somebody says, this is what I'm going to do. And then they do it. And then when they do it, they cook up with a lie. Hey, you told me that that's what you were going to do. Oh, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just here to stand up for democracy. And Putin's evil or something. And you're like, the government's literally committing a genocide in Gaza. And at the same time they're committing a genocide, they're saying to you, we're standing up for independence, sovereignty, and democracy, and all good things, puppies and kittens over here in Ukraine. Put those two things together, if you would. A, I'm committing a genocide, and B, at the same time I'm committing a genocide, I'm doing good things. Kind of really doesn't add up, does it? Well, we are just about at the end of our rope here. We are at the end of our hope, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to remind you how important it is to keep WPFW on the air. I'm going to remind you how critical it is, critical, absolutely critical, that you dial 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. How critical it is after hearing a show like this that you say to yourself, wow, you know, I'm shocked that you're able to talk like that still, that you haven't been thrown in irons and dragged away to a dungeon, which is probably coming, most likely in El Salvador. But at least I'll be beaten first and taken to Texas. But my point being, we're still allowed to do that, but not many places, but we are on WPFW. So those who can afford it, you heard about our sustainer program, 202-588-9739. Those who, a lot of people listening right now, you know, you got the middle class people. Hey, man, you maybe can give $100, but you got a lot of people out there right now who are loaded, man, who can give $500 or $1,000. Keep WPFW on the air. The number is 202-588-9739. Call now. Do the right thing. I'm out.